happening in Aventura. News Radio 610 WIOD covers South Florida after Fox News covers the world. It's 12 o'clock.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Even with some Democrats on the fence, the House could vote on a health care reform bill this week. Maryland Democrat Chris Van Hollen.
What's happening is our members are going back home to their constituents who are opening up their mail and getting these huge increases in their insurance premiums. And they recognize that doing nothing is not an option.
Virginia Republican Eric Cantor, also on Fox News Sunday.
Republicans care about health care. We want to make sure that positive reform is effected. We don't accept the status quo. We just don't like this bill.
Here's what needs to happen. House Democrats would pass the Senate's version of health care reform, taking their colleagues in the Senate at their word that they'll implement negotiated changes before the Senate pushes that bill through past Republican opposition. A bunch of deadly bombings in Kandahar, southern Afghanistan. A warning, says the Taliban spokesman to NATO General Stanley McChrystal, who's announced that Kandahar is the next push for troops who just drove the Taliban out of the next province over. Former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton.
The Taliban attacks demonstrate that they're prepared, they're not going to concede easily, and that it will be a very tough struggle. To me, all the more reason not to give a sign of weakness by saying we want to negotiate prematurely.
Utility crews are working hard to restore power to hundreds of thousands of people in the Northeast.
All kinds of people having to be rescued from this, from areas of West Virginia and Virginia, all the way up in throughout upstate New York. And we're not done with the storm yet, unfortunately. Still have flood watches and warnings in effect across all the area. Major flooding problems all across much of the Northeast.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth, that storm is now moving northeast from Boston to Portland, Maine. A door-to-door search for people unaccounted for after an avalanche in the Canadian Rocky Mountains. At least three people killed during a snowmobile rally yesterday. Around 200 people were there. The Canadian Avalanche Center had issued a warning. The Big Iron Shootout rallies 250 miles from Vancouver. This is Fox News Radio. Theron Balanced.
It's 12:03. Our top stories locally. A community outraged over the police-involved shooting of a woman in Pompano Beach. Broward Sheriff's deputies were searching for drugs and guns and killed 52-year-old Brenda Van Sweden, the owner, when she refused to drop her gun. Deputies arresting four people on drug charges in connection with their search warrant. Investigators recovering four guns inside that house, as well as drugs and more than $500 in cash. Van Sweden was a mother of four boys, two of whom died recently. One was killed in a car crash in October. The other died of an overdose 2.5 years ago. A 17-year-old Miami Gardens teen is dead after reportedly being shot over a dice game at a Carroll City park. Police say an argument started around the game and one person began shooting. Unfortunately, Dante Frazier died on the scene. In other news, the clocks are springing forward on us again. Daylight savings time went into effect at 2 this morning. Miami-Dade Fire Rescue's Christina Armand says it's also a good time to change the battery in your smoke alarm, and it could save your life.
About 92% of American homes nationwide have smoke alarms, but non-working smoke alarms contribute to about 3,600 deaths and 19,000 injuries caused by fires inside of homes each year.
She says the most common cause of a failing smoke alarm is a worn or missing battery. A Florida church becomes one of the first in the nation to broadcast Sunday services on Facebook. Robert Andrzejczyk of Northland Church in Orlando says with their philosophy of bringing church wherever people are, Facebook is a no-brainer.
The goal is to take the church to where people are versus asking them to come to us. And so literally we're planting a church in the quote-unquote nation of Facebook where there are over 400 million users worldwide. If Facebook were a country, it would be the third biggest country in the world.
And Northland Church already links services to its website and to iPhones. Next update at 12:30, Condo Craze and HOAs up next. I'm Randy Lance, News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Condo Craze and HOAs is intended as a resource guide for education, information, and entertainment purposes and is not intended to supply specific legal advice. The information that you hear should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based on advertising or the information you hear today.
Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD, sponsored by attorney Eric Glazer, founder of Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm helping associations and owners throughout the state of Florida. If you'd like to be a part of the show today, feel free, 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T wireless customers. Or if you're not comfortable talking on the air, you can always email the show, condocraze@wiod.com, and we'll get it right here in the studio. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. I'm Jerry Hester, as always, alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. Hi, guys. Hope the hope the time change didn't mess you up too bad.
Messed up Christy, didn't mess up.
Yeah, she seems a little she seems a little foggy this morning.
I need my sleep, guys. Sorry.
I guarantee you she'll be awake by the end of this hour.
That I can guarantee.
Yeah, because, you know, we always stir the pot around here. Like last week, my gosh, I mean, we broke our record of not just the number of calls we got, but for the number of angry calls. We were just minding our own business, talking about whether or not people should have a moral obligation to pay their mortgage, even if they're, you know, underwater on their homes. And it seems everybody had an opinion on that. Some said, yeah, go ahead and pay it. Blame the homeowner for biting off more than they can chew. Some blame the banks. Some blame the mortgage broker industry. No matter who you blame, they were all mad, and you know, the phones were just ringing off the hook. But no, only one person, I think, stood up and said, it was my fault.
Right, exactly. Only one person stood up for it. That's exactly
and,
right.
And said, raised her hand, and she was very nice, and said, it's my fault.
That's right.
My husband and I should not have done this.
And I applaud her for doing it. You know, phones ringing off the hook because, quite frankly, it's not every day did people get to hear lawyers give speeches on morality. You know, keep that in mind. It was something new and different for our listeners last week.
I've never heard used in the same sentence before.
That's wait a minute, guys. If I need to remind you, don't you remember a few weeks ago we actually spoke about a case in Dade County where the judge wouldn't let the bank foreclose because the judge kept saying, you know, times are tough. They don't want to kick the homeowner out of the house. She was trying to sell it, all that stuff. And then if you remember, I think, Eric, remember this? The third DCA came out, third District Court of Appeals came out and said, forget morality, you know, forget the economy, forget everything. If the person doesn't pay their mortgage, take their home. And to be honest, that's the simple truth. I know it sounds harsh, but that's what needs to be done to get the economy back.
Move things along, absolutely.
Well, you know, either way you look at it, the bottom line is mortgages are not getting paid. Association dues are not getting paid. And people are getting madder.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
You know, finally, they're going to rise up and something will be done about it. But
well, let's look at what our leaders are doing. Even the commissioners of Broward County got angry this week. Bank of America lost out on a role in financing the new courthouse in downtown Fort Lauderdale that we spoke about a bunch of times. And this Tuesday, the commissioners complained that Bank of America was failing to help the people in Broward County with their troubled mortgages and were unfairly jacking up credit card fees. So they're not going to be able to participate in the funding of the courthouse. Actually, if you look at this morning's paper, there's yet another Bank of America horror story in today's Sun Sentinel about a woman who keeps applying to refinance her home with Bank of America, and they keep losing her application. She's actually up to number 4.
The best part of that is, if you remember the houses that they were taking, the wrong foreclosed houses, those were all Bank of America.
Those were all Bank of America.
Really?
Yep, all 3 of them.
Wow.
It's not a beat-up Bank of America show. We just report the facts here, that's all. Right.
Bank of America, .. on their way to be Bank of the World.
Right, exactly.
Trying hard to be Bank of the World.
Right, well, again, Jerry, you brought it up, you know, people are so angry. Why shouldn't they be? Let's keep going over some other statistics. Broward's foreclosure rate, believe it or not, is up 48% from just 1 year ago. Palm Beach, if you can believe this, is up 68% from a year ago. And in February, Florida had the nation's third highest rate, with one in every 163 units facing foreclosure. And worse yet, when you read that article, the analysts were expecting foreclosures to even go higher this year because of rising unemployment and the adjustable rate mortgages resetting to higher interest rates. And if that isn't enough to drive you crazy, the State Workforce Agency reported this week that Florida's unemployment rate in January hit 11.9%. matching the peak of 35 years ago during the 1974-75 recession. And I'll say it again, someone tell me one idea that the legislature has come up with so far to do anything about any of this, because I simply haven't heard it. Somebody call in today and enlighten me.
Well, that means, you know, there's a lot more people out of work than there were in 74 and 75. There's a lot more people in the workforce now.
Of course.
Than there were then. So it's even worse than then. I mean, I was working then. 74? No, I was still in high school. Sorry, I wasn't. I might have been working at Dairy Queen or something.
And what they keep saying is these figures don't even take into account the number of people who simply gave up looking for work and are not even included in the unemployment statistics anymore.
Right.
So things are actually a lot worse than they even seem.
Well, first off, I wasn't born back then, so I guess I'm living through it now, which is no, stop. No, but I'm saying I'm living through it now.
Who's so going to be on the show with us next week?
You know what I'm saying I'm living through it now for the first time, and it's just an amazing experience in and of itself just to see what's going on out there. But, Eric, I do have to say there is something in the works, it appears. I mean, ever since we started talking about the gambling, bringing real gambling to South Florida, the legislator has stopped and suddenly taken a great interest in the idea. And I believe it was this last week that executives from Las Vegas Sands, which operates the Venetian and the Palazzo, in Vegas, flew to Tallahassee and proposed building 4 to 6 gambling destinations in Florida, each costing about, I think it was like $2 billion or more to build, that will lure gamblers from all over the world to South Florida.
Yeah, it's actually even on the front page again today in the Sun Sentinel. Michael Mayo, a really good writer for the Sun Sentinel, he's basically telling us that full-blown casinos is simply the natural evolution of things to come. You got to ask yourself, how many jobs do you think that's going to bring to this state? Just in construction workers alone. Never mind the employees who's actually going to wind up, you know, getting jobs at the hotel after they're built. The chambermaids, the dealers, the people that's going to work in all the restaurants. Literally tens of thousands of jobs are going to be created. And the legislature's chief economist, Amy Baker, calculated that the state could actually authorize 8 resort casinos and generate at least $2.3 billion. Check this out, though. Just in upfront licensing fees, never mind what we would get in taxes each year. One approach, she was saying, would be like an actual auction among all the casino companies in which they would try to outbid each other for the right to actually build the casinos.
Wow. So, you know, that's amazing. The operators think coming to Florida is a great idea, and we agree, and they would have to fight and outbid each other just for the right to be here.
Right. Can you imagine that? Right.
Well, whatever works.
Well, again, Florida is uniquely qualified. I keep saying it week after week. To pull itself out of this mess, and the legislature better get busy getting this done, or their unemployment numbers are going to be at 35-year highs, too. You can guarantee it. November is just a few months away. So, on to other things in Broward County. It's not all bad, actually. Some good news. Finally, Broward has moved into the 21st century, and beginning March 30th, in 2 weeks, foreclosure sales will be taking place online rather than at in-person auctions. And so far, if you ask the clerk's office in Dade County, they're claiming that they're actually handling twice the amount of foreclosure sales now that the process is online. They're really having a good time doing it. It's working out well.
They are having a good time. It's actually coming a lot quicker. I know the foreclosures dates now are between 2 and 3 months away rather than the 6 to 8 months we were seeing before. But again, remember, you have to register in advance to be allowed to participate in the online auctions. There's also free training sessions that are held at the Broward County Courthouse in room 385 from March 16th through 18th. So if you're interested in buying properties, I urge you to sign up.
That's this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Correct.
And if you're going to even attempt this, I would say get some formal training, because look what happened to people in Dade County. And we hope Broward buyers don't make the same mistake, think they can sit in their recliner and buy waterfront properties for like $10,000, $20,000. And yeah, they're buying is the lien.
Right.
You've still got a million-dollar mortgage on this place, and you know, they're in trouble.
Yeah, some guy in the Sun Sentinel this week even said he was quoted to see if he thinks Dade County should go along the lines of online foreclosures, and he said, yeah, as long as you don't do what I did and act as dumb as I did, do your research first.
Yeah, do your homework and get the training, because it is available to you.
Well, that's
the thing. You know, with all the resources now, there's no excuse not to do your homework. Let's take one quick call before we go to break. It's Nicholas. Hi, Nicholas. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for taking my call. Great show. I wanted to find out whether an owner is eligible to run for or be elected to a board if they are not current with their condo payments if they're in arrears?
Good question. This keeps coming up, Chris. Probably nobody is more qualified to answer this than Christy at this point, because she's been on the phone so many times with the state, and she can probably give you the right answer.
First off, is it an HOA or a condo?
Condo.
Okay. In the condo statute, it states that if you're delinquent 90 days, you've deemed to have abandoned your position. So what the Department of Business and Professional Regulation has interpreted this to mean is if you're 90 days delinquent as of the date of the election on only your regular assessments, this doesn't include late fees, it doesn't include interest, it only includes actual assessment payments, then what happens is you get voted in, but you're automatically deemed to have abandoned. So they've taken the position to go ahead and put the next person with the next votes in, but you can't actually restrict the person from running. They're allowed to run up until the first ballot's open. If they get elected, they're deemed to have automatically abandoned their position.
But it's definitely only the it doesn't include late fees or interest payments, only the payment itself.
That's the interpretation I got from the Department of Business and Professional Regulations.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, just to clarify, again, it only includes the general monthly assessments. If a person hasn't paid their special assessments for 2 years, it doesn't matter. They can still run and serve on the board.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling, Nicholas. We'll take your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. AT&T Wireless customers, we make it very easy for you. Simply dial *610. We'll come back with lots more of Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
So, enjoy sitting around listening to Condo Craze and HOAs? Good. But when the show is done and you'd like to get in the shape of your life, get up and get to it with Cruise. Body by Cruise is the personal trainer of the area's best hard bodies. Their training and techniques will help you get results like never before. And Cruise makes it easy. If your home or condo has gym facilities, Body by Cruise comes to you. The hassles of signing up and going to a gym often don't pan out, so Body by Cruise trains in the privacy of your own home. Cruise has trained well-known fitness gems like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Click the website to see more. Bodybycruise.com. That's bodybycruise.com. Or call 305-766-6877. You can get in the shape of your life. You can get results. All you need is the proper training, motivation, and know-how. And that's what you get with personal trainer Body by Cruise. Click bodybycruise.com and they'll come to you. Or call now, 305-766-6877. Ask Eric. He's been training with Cruise for over 4 years.
The Miami Rescue Mission and Broward Outreach Center serve the homeless and needy of our South Florida communities, and we need your help for our upcoming Hope Tote Drive. A Hope Tote is a purple bag filled with hygiene items for the homeless, such as soap, shampoo, new underwear, and info on how to get help. We have given thousands of these Hope Totes away through the last few years, and with your help, we plan on giving hope through a Hope Tote to many more. For details on how you can help, visit one of our websites at MiamiRescueMission.com or BrowardOutreachCenter.com.
You dropped your tea.
Oh, thanks.
No, I mean you dropped your tea when you were telling me about your new Sunshine golf cart.
But it's not a golf cart. It's a Sunshine golf car.
A Sunshine golf car?
Yeah, that's right. What do you want, a car or a cart?
A car?
See, I own my own Sunshine golf car, and I drive it everywhere. Sunshine golf cars are street legal, so I use it here at the golf course, where I save on cart rentals and bag storage fees, plus everywhere else, to visit the neighbors, go to the store, even the kids love it.
Sweet! Can you export them?
Of course!
Sunshine golf car.
It's the best drive in golf.
Own your own Sunshine golf car and save on cart rentals, bag storage fees, and so much more. Financing is available and you can export them. Learn more at sunshinegolfcar.com. Just remember to drop the T. Own your own Sunshine golf car and save on cart rentals. sunshinegolfcar.com. Just remember to drop the T. Sunshine golf car, your authorized Easy Go dealer.
Hey, it's Doc Reno, and I've got to tell you about my new favorite sports bar in West Kendall. It's called the Gridiron Bar and Grill, and I'm telling you, they've got it all. 15 big screens for watching all the big games, bartenders who will actually put the game on that you want to watch. Remember that? Wait staff that are friendly, full liquor bar, not just beer and wine, all kinds of fantastic food from wings to steaks, burgers, salads, seafood, wraps, sandwiches, and a whole lot more. Gridiron Sports Bar and Grill, now open on the corner of 157th Avenue, just south of Kendall Drive.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. We'll take your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers, or you can email us anytime, even during the week, at condocraze@wiod.com. And don't forget, check out our Facebook page. We've arrived, and what is that? I think we have news.
I think so, too.
Is this the big announcement music?
Big announcement. Yes, it is. All right. Some big news to report. Due to the show's popularity and really the great comments we receive week after week, both on the air, and I got to tell you, by the many, many emails we receive each week, both to me and Christy, we really appreciate it. We have a great new website devoted entirely to the show. And all you have to know is the show's name in order to get there. Just go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com, and if you go there, you'll see that you can learn a lot about the show. First thing, for better or worse, you can see what we look like and learn about what we do and what our qualifications are, right? Again,
we should have sent better pictures.
Or models.
Right? There you go.
Well, that's the first thing. You can write in comments or questions you have about the show, or you can write in the questions that you want answered during the show. Another great thing, you can listen to any of our past shows. They're all up there, and they're normally posted on our website within a few days of being aired. Like Tuesday or Wednesday, they're normally up already. You can see all the show's new sponsors. Again, thank you to our sponsors. You can get immediate access to all of their websites as well. And you can click on our Facebook link and get involved in several of our discussion boards that we now have going on regarding condominium and homeowner association issues. And I can tell you, we really worked hard at putting it together, and we love the way it looks. And we would really like it if all of you just visit it. Let us know what you think. Again, the address is just what you think it would be, condocrazeandhoas.com. Check it out. Look forward to hearing from you.
And the link works from the WIOD website, too.
As well, that's
correct. Yeah, I checked it the other day just to make sure. And I clicked on the show, and then it took me right to the brand new website with Christy's picture on it.
Right. Oh, thanks. Why is it only my picture? You two are
Because,
both on
no,
there.
No, no, we sent other people's pictures.
Yeah.
Well, that's not trouble, really. Then. That's not really Eric and I. Oh, but you're the only one with the real picture on there.
Thanks.
Let's get right back to the phones. Jose, you're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hey, hi. How's everybody doing?
How are you, Jose?
Hey, not too bad. Just came across the station. Great show.
Thank you.
One quick question. Is it common for special assessments to be added to the normal monthly maintenance fees that you would come across in HOA?
Are you saying, when you say added to it, do you mean that the amount of your monthly assessment is simply increased, or are you asking me should there be a separate payment devoted to your special assessment?
Well, we had a special assessment on a roof that was done where we're at, and well, I guess for some reason, most of the people that are there now are falling behind, or they've dumped the property, you know, or what have you. And so there's been a couple of letters that come out stating that they had to combine the special assessment into the maintenance fee of what we're, you know, what we're responsible for now.
Right.
And so my question was if that's normal practice. Have you seen that at all?
Well, normally it's done by way of an actual separate payment. The person actually writes two different checks each month. One for your regular monthly assessment and another for the special assessment. And it's actually easier to be done that way for the association because they're required to keep separate books and records, or an accounting, I should say, of exactly what is collected from the special assessment. Okay, they should, you know, they have to keep records separate. They don't necessarily have to segregate it, but they have to show exactly what's accounted for and exactly what's collected for the special assessment as opposed from just the general assessment that comes in each month. So it might be poor bookkeeping on the association's part to lump it all into one check.
Eric, there's also another good point in regards to that with actual delinquencies, is because the way the Florida statute reads it is first, you know, late fees, interest, everything gets paid first, special assessments get paid before regular assessments.
Right.
So in the event you're foreclosing, you know, when you have to list down the amounts, the special assessments would be wiped out before the assessments. So that's another interesting factor there.
I guess the quick answer to your question, Jose, is there's nothing in the law that would say that the association has to force the owner to pay by separate checks. But I think it's better bookkeeping practices for the association to have it done in separate checks.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for your help.
No problem.
Thanks, Jose.
Just want to get back to one thing Nicholas said on the first call. He had a question about whether or not unit owners who are delinquent in their assessments can run for the board. And I can tell you this time of year, because it's annual meeting time, we get these types of questions all day long. And a lot of people are really upset with the fact that you can be delinquent in your assessments and still run for the board. So if our listeners out there have comments or questions in that regards, we'd really like to know how you feel about it. Should someone who is behind in their assessments, even special assessments, be allowed to run for the board? Just give us a call. Let us know what you think.
Eric, I'm actually going to jump in here for a minute because I know we were talking about it earlier, and I want everybody to know that I actually don't agree with everything that's been said in regards to the assessments, and I've been back and forth with the DBPR going over why they have that interpretation of it because, I mean, as a condo owner, if somebody hasn't paid a $3,000 special assessment just because it's a special assessment, they should be allowed to run for the board and make decisions for me? I don't think so.
It doesn't make sense that you can be 90 days delinquent on your regular assessments and you're kicked off the board, but you can be 2 years behind in your special assessments and have the right to stay. I don't get it.
I'm shaking my head no. Yeah. You can't hear that on the radio. I think Lewis has the question of the day. I really think he does. Lewis, you're on with Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hey, I'm a first-time home buyer. I'm sitting on about $100K in cash. I want to buy a house. But here's the honest-to-God question. Why would I want to live in an HOA where I have to pay assessments on property I already own and have people tell me what I can and can't do on my own property?
Question of the day, Lewis. Well, let me give you the answer that probably my wife would give you. I don't know how to turn a hammer or turn a screwdriver. There you go. Turn a hammer. I don't know how to use a hammer or turn a screwdriver or things of that nature. And when you live in a home, you know, a lot of those things you got to do by yourself. When you live in an HOA, for example, they do all the gardening for you. A lot of them take care of the roofs for you, although not in all. A lot of them take care of the exterior of the paint of your home. So it depends, you know, for someone who's not handy or for retirees, for example, who really don't want the responsibilities and the headache of taking care of the pool, you know, and their home, an HOA or a condo really is the only way to go. Because it relieves them from a lot of the responsibilities that come with home ownership.
Well, not only that, Eric, but you have the insurance benefits, too. If you do have a lot of common elements or whatnot, the actual insurance policy will be a little less because they have such a mass policy.
Right, exactly. There's actually a lot of benefits. You know, if you can put up with, some rules and regulations, the whole idea behind this type of association ownership is that it should be a little easier for everybody to live in one place, share the bills, and take care of each other's property. That's the whole idea behind it. But, as we hear week after week, though, it doesn't always work out that way. But there are benefits, believe it or not.
But it actually seems like it's been getting worse, Eric, with the delinquent assessments. That's when you've seen more people turn away from the homeowners association than the condos because they don't want to pick up the pieces for somebody not paying the bills. So that's what I've seen more of.
I hope that answers your question, Lewis. You ready to buy now?
It does, and looks like I ain't going to do an HOA. I do everything myself.
I'm so persuasive. I talked you right out of that, huh?
I'd rather do it myself.
Well, all right, I wish you luck, whatever you do.
Thanks.
Okay, Lewis.
You know, that makes sense that it's okay for some people, but other people, it's really not necessary.
No, absolutely.
And, you know, and if everything went well with condo associations and homeowners associations, like in a perfect world, we wouldn't be here.
Right, exactly. Sounds like utopia, but...
You'd be taking the kids out for ice cream or something, or Christy and I'd be at the beach.
Right.
Well, the good thing, to be honest, though, another good thing is, I mean, if you've got a barking dog next door to you, usually you'd be the one that would have to file suit against that unit owner and bring them to court and drag it out. And most of the homeowners' decks say that, you know, if there's a nuisance, the HOA actually has to come in and file it on behalf of the association. Right. So that's another, I mean, they're minor things.
Yeah, but little things,
up.
A lot of little things add up, and exactly. A lot of little nuisances, a lot of things you don't think of. I didn't know about the roof thing.
Right.
You know, the roof and the gardening. I didn't know about that.
Believe it or not, Jerry, I swear I can't make this up. About 30 seconds before we went on the air, someone sent me another jacuzzi question. That's what
really?
Tom reminds me.
What
of.
Was it, Brian?
No, it was not. Because
he's still Facebooking me about the jacuzzi. I think he wants an invitation to come over.
Brian is listening. You can guarantee that, but no, it wasn't Brian.
Okay. Well, we'll let Brian off the hook for this one. Let's take a break for news, and we'll come back with lots more on Condo Craze and HOAs. News Radio 610 WIOD.
Good afternoon. It's 12:30. I'm Randy Lance with our top local story. Cops forced to open fire at a South Florida grandmother. The latest on the investigation coming up. But first, let's check in with Donna Rapato in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel Casino Traffic Center.
On the Don Shula Expressway, the southbound exit at Killian Parkway is blocked, as well as three lanes at Kendall Drive because of construction. Also expect delays and detours today anywhere near Southwest 8th Street in Miami. It's the annual Calle Ocho Festival, which closes 8th Street from 11th to 27th Avenue, and that goes on well into the night. I'm Donna Ricotta, News Radio 610, WIOD 24-hour traffic.
To be an amazing one for the next couple of days, featuring partly sunny skies and daytime highs just a few degrees below normal, close to 80, a little breezy with overnight lows in the mid-50s across inland areas, upper 50s to lower 60s near the coast. Lisa Love from the Weather Channel for News Radio 610 WIOD.
73 degrees in Parkland, 75 in Homestead. It's 1231. A South Florida grandmother is dead following a drug raid at a Pompano Beach home. The Broward Sheriff's Office says authorities fatally shot 52-year-old Brenda Van Sweden when she refused to drop a loaded handgun during the morning raid. According to a news release, investigators recovered four guns inside the home as well as drugs and more than $500 in cash. The deputies who were involved in the shooting have been placed on administrative leave. A 2009 recalled Camry crashes after being fixed. Now a Boca couple is suing.
Palm Beach attorney Brian Smith is suing Ed Morris Delray Toyota and Toyota on behalf of Harold and Selma McCrensky. They took their car into the Ed Morris shop after it suddenly accelerated on January 28th. Well, February 11th, it was returned to them with a receipt of the recall fix. February 26th, that same Camry suddenly sped through an intersection and hit two other vehicles.
The wife, who was the passenger, has a broken arm, a badly sprained ankle, and back injury. The husband, who was driving, has a last to his head that required 11 staples.
The McCrensky's Camry was subject to two repairs under two Toyota recall campaigns, one for the gas pedal and the other for the floor mat. Natalie Rodriguez, News Radio 610 WIOD.
Meanwhile, a spokesman for one of the House members looking into the runaway Prius episode in California says a report from investigators raising doubts about whether the driver was actually telling the truth. A memo drafted for the congressional panel says investigators for Toyota and the feds weren't able to make the car speed out of control as its owner says it did. Well, he knows the Republicans can't do it on their own, but House Republican leader John Boehner says they'll do it all they can do to keep the House from passing health care legislation. He tells CNN that the measure can be defeated. Meanwhile, a House Democrat, James Clyburn of South Carolina, tells NBC that the votes aren't there yet, but he's confident the legislation will pass. Next update at 1 o'clock. More of Condo Craze and HOAs up next. I'm Randy Lance, News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. We're taking your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T wireless customers, or you can email us anytime, 24/7, condocraze@WIOD.com. And remember, if you can't get through on the phone and if you don't have access to email, you can always call the offices of Glazer & Associates during the week at 877-4 Condo Craze. Let's get back to the phones. Ralph's been holding for a while. Ralph, you're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Thank you for taking my call. I own a small unit in Miami Beach, and I'm on the top floor. The association is poorly attended, and we only have one or two members. The management company actually runs the whole bit, and we have had a problem with the roof in the past, and they have been involved with different big projects like removing all windows and doing all kinds of big jobs. However, the roof has not been taken care of. I'm on the top floor, and I have a pretty bad leak into the unit. Now, I send them letters, and they're telling me now, all of a sudden, they never did anything. They're negotiating with the insurance company to do the repairs on the roof. in the meantime, water is coming in.
Yeah, can't tell you how many times we've dealt with this over the years, Ralph. This is a real good call. Regardless of whether or not your association is fighting with your insurance carrier, there is absolutely an obligation to prevent it from raining in your house. You have a right to live in your house without the ceiling flooding you out periodically. The board is charged both by not only the Florida statutes, but with their own governing documents to make any and all necessary repairs. So you should absolutely send them that letter, that registered letter that you sent them. And
And
did they respond at all to you?
Yeah, now before you go, I have a lawyer, and he sent a letter. We're concerned about damages, and an older individual who lives here with me who has breathing problems,
right.
And mildew is building up.
Well, okay. I would not only get myself a lawyer, I would get myself a certified industrial hygienist. I would have your unit inspected to see if there's actually a mold problem at this point, and I would not hesitate to sue the association if you have to. I can tell you we've done it many, many times over the years. Again, not having the money is not an excuse. If they have to pass a special assessment and fix the place, then that's simply what they're going to have to do. They
but
can always work it out. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Even if management is responsible, I will sue the board of directors?
No. See, the management company is not responsible. The management company can tell the board all day long, listen, you have an obligation to fix the property. But if the board doesn't listen to their management company, then the management company simply isn't on the hook.
Okay.
It's the board of directors who need to be sued. And again, if you can't live there and this is going on for a long time, you shouldn't hesitate. You should file immediately.
And Eric, I wanted
thank
to
you so much. Yes.
Eric, I wanted to bring up and stress an important thing that was said in what you said. The board of directors actually has a fiduciary duty to step in and make sure that there prevent any more damage to the common elements, limited common elements, or any units.
Yeah, exactly.
So
good
that's,
point.
That's one of the big things that's out there that, you know, we get, as Eric said, calls all the time about it. So it's one of those things that's huge.
Yeah, it could start off with you, Ralph, and then if they let the damage continue to grow, it can wind up affecting other people in the building too. So what might be a little fix at some point can turn into a much bigger problem later on if it keeps getting ignored.
Especially if mold or something arises with the way South Florida is, Eric. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll try to get your phone off the air.
You got it. Stay on
them,
Ralph. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any cooler now. It's going to get hotter.
Exactly.
It's going to get muggier. Mm-hmm. Mold is going to start to grow.
We actually did a huge story on that because what happens is, especially in condos and the ones that the air vent system is all the same, once one unit gets mold, I mean, those spores go everywhere.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah, if you wonder why you wake up in the morning and you can't breathe right.
And you have green and black stuff growing on your walls, you know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, green stuff, bad. Just go ahead and write that down next to your...
Actually, the black stuff is worse. So.
Black stuff, green stuff, bad. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. Anything interesting happen in lawyer world this week?
Yes, actually, some new action by the Florida Supreme Court last week. The Supreme Court actually issued a unanimous court opinion asking your Florida legislature to pay for 90 new judges throughout the state because budget cuts and the foreclosure crisis, they say, have slowed justice. Go figure. Where have we heard that before?
Oh,
we might have spoken about that
anything.
Once or twice.
Well, once or twice, I seem to remember talking about that.
More like hundreds or thousands or millions of times before.
Chief Justice Peggy Kinsey said that 37 new circuit judges and 53 new county court judges are needed, 20 of them, believe it or not, just for South Florida alone. But our listeners should know the legislature hasn't created any, not one new judgeship since 2006. And in light of the economy, the court's request is likely to fall on deaf ears once again. Let's see, Justice Kinsey said that the court budgets have recently been cut by as much as 10%. And she said, and this is scary, there's evidence that a second wave of foreclosures is now entering the court system, and this workload is going to continue to persist.
So, Eric, I'm just going to jump in here and say for all my clients out there and maybe for any other attorney clients, don't yell at me and blame me when you can't get a hearing, because when I tell you, you know, I've got a hearing schedule and the court docket's completely full, there's a reason for it. I mean, some of ours have been going on waiting 3 months for hearing now. It's crazy out there. But
now, why should we be getting ready for another round of another major round of foreclosures? Are the arms coming due?
The arms coming due, like we said, and for the first time, the analysts are thinking that unemployment now is starting to play a major factor in people simply not having the ability to pay, even if regardless of whether or not they're upside down in their loan. they simply don't have the funds anymore to pay because of unemployment.
Well, Eric, also look at what we were talking about, I think, 2 weeks ago about the Space Coast and possibly that would be a huge blow to Florida's economy right there. And that's going to jump the foreclosure rate up if the space program shut down.
Right. Yeah. And it looks like it's going to.
Yeah. Yeah, they're done. Again, you keep calling me Rush every week, but I'll go on record. I say keep the Space Coast going, keep space travel going, do as much as you can. We can't stop. Again, the ultimate frontier, for lack of a better word. But if there's no money, what are we going to do, I guess?
Right.
You know. Okay. Moving on. A lot of news on the HOA front. The Office of Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability. There's an oxymoron, huh? Government accountability. They were asked by the Florida legislature, this is going back about 2 weeks, to examine state problems that are facing Florida homeowner associations. And as many of you already know, there's a lot less state regulation of homeowner associations than there is of condo associations. As a matter of fact, if you look at the HOA statute, it starts with this sentence. The legislature recognized that it is not in the best interest of homeowner associations or individual association members thereof to create or impose a bureau or other agency of state government to regulate the affairs of homeowner associations. So again, the Florida legislature comes right out and tells you that it's not in their best interest to be regulated, and we don't want to regulate them. But I can tell you that there are thousands of people that are living in HOAs that absolutely disagree with that statement, and they actually want there to be more state supervision of homeowner associations, because they feel that when problems come up, there's simply nobody to complain to when a complaint needs to be made.
And Eric, here's another one of the big examples of, to me, which doesn't make sense on how condo and HOA law is so different. Because on the condo side, you have the Office of the Condo Ombudsman and the Division of Florida Land Sales to assist homeowners. Yet, HOA side, there's absolutely nothing. You know, the Arbitration Division of the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Here's the elections and recall disputes only for the HOAs, but there needs to be more for homeowners to protect them.
If you read the report that they actually issued, it's somewhat amazing. Admittedly, believe it or not, the state of Florida doesn't have any data at all indicating how many associations there even are in Florida. They only estimate that there's about 14,300. HOAs are only required to fill out a renewal of their corporation form each year, just like any other Florida corporation. But there's no box on the form to check if the corporation is actually a homeowners association. And believe it or not, in addition, the property appraisers around the state also admittedly don't have any accurate database whatsoever of homeowner associations, even though it's estimated that between 4 and 6 million Florida residents actually live in an HOA.
Well, it's pretty interesting, Eric, because even for the people that attended our seminar when we went through it, and it was the condo and HOA seminar, I know everybody laughed at me because I was a broken record, because when Eric was talking about something, I just mentioned it's not in HOAs. There's nothing in HOAs.
Right. I can tell you, and I think we hear it week after week from our callers, I think you guys want to be regulated a little more. You want somebody to complain to. I understand that the Ombudsman's Office is kind of helping you out every now and then, even though they're supposed to be helping out just condo association owners. But, you know, they're trying to do something to make you guys think that you're not being ignored. But in actuality, you really are. So if you look at the report, the legislature was actually given a few options. One, do nothing, just leave homeowner associations in a state of status quo, which would actually get a lot of people angry. You can ask the Secretary of State to at least keep records regarding which Florida corporations are homeowner associations and how many units are in each homeowner association. That would be great, just to have that kind of information provided on your corporate annual return. And the other option was, do we expand the Office of the Condominium Ombudsman to also include HOAs?
Eric, I have to say, at a minimum, what they should be doing and what we all should be doing is at least keeping track of the number of HOAs. I can't believe they don't even do that. I mean, you don't know how many homeowner associations you have in the state of Florida. Yep. That, to me, is crazy. And they should know how many units there are, how many homeowners. I mean, they're paying taxes. They're doing everything normal people do. It's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's confused by this. I'm sure some of our listeners are too. There's one set of laws that control condos and another set of laws that control HOAs.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't it make sense to have one set of laws governing both?
And there is the voice of reason.
Yeah, good point.
Hello?
Good point. Yeah.
Hello, is this thing on?
Good point. As a matter of fact, there's somewhat of a movement out there to actually have that accomplished, to actually have one set of laws that govern all types of association living. And we'll see if the legislature is willing to tackle that issue in 2010. I know that there's a community association manager by the name of Mark Benson, who I believe is in the Tampa area, and he's really a big proponent of that measure.
Well, we want to know what you think. Should HOAs be more regulated like condos, or do you want less government involvement and intervention in your HOA? Give us a call at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers, and let us know your thoughts. And we'll take those calls right after the break on Condo Craze and HOAs, News Radio 610 WIOD.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, Bell Harbor Shops, Bell Harbor and Worth Avenue, Palm Beach.
Welcome to Lefty's Tavern and Grill, the home of $2 Miller Lite all day, every day. Daily lunch specials for just $4.99. All boxing matches and all MMA fights.
Every game, every team, every day in HD.
Plus the best chicken wings in town, done your way. Happy hour daily from 11 to 7. It's a great time to unwind after a busy day at the office. Lefty's Tavern and Grill on University Drive and State Road 84 in Davie.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone's trying to break into my house.
Can you protect your family and possessions?
Oh, I'm glad you're here, officer.
I see they didn't get in.
East Coast Windows and Doors, a professional install using a quality product. PGT WindGuard impact-resistant windows and doors.
East Coast Windows said not just effortless hurricane protection.
Because we all like happy endings, you need WindGuard. Visit eastcoastwindows.com. That's eastcoastwindows.com. Mention this ad to receive free standard tint upgrade. Financing available.
It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. We'll take your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers. And before we get to the phones, can we get to some of these emails that we never seem to get to? Yeah. Is that okay with you? Lorna from Hallandale, the president of the association wants to shut down our elevators because it costs too much to fix. Our condo consists of 4 two-story buildings with an elevator in each building. People bought here because there was an elevator to the second floor, and they didn't want to have to take the stairs. Can they do this?
Well,
what do you think?
I think, yeah, probably.
No. Oh, come on, Jerry. No? How long have you been here?
I'm talking legally.
We're trying to teach you. Work with me, Jerry.
No, they can't do that?
My little grasshopper here is slowing down today. You've learned so much.
I've been trying to snatch the pebble.
Oh, I know. No. Well, fortunately for Lorna, the board actually has a statutory duty to repair the common elements, including the elevator. So, in essence, the board has no choice. They need to get in there and fix that elevator, if not just for safety reasons. I mean, you don't know if there's older people living there.
Right. That's really a no-brainer. It goes along the line with what Ralph called in about just a few minutes ago. Not having the money is not an excuse, Lorna, not an excuse at all. The board has an obligation to pass a special assessment if necessary to get that elevator fixed. And if the board refuses, I can tell you that a unit owner can get the board to fix it by simply filing a petition in a court of law. Okay, they're going to have to put that elevator back.
Eric, it's actually pretty interesting. This may be a little off topic, but I definitely thought it needs to be brought up right now in regards to not having the money, because there's a huge issue that came out in the newspaper a couple of days ago in regards to the insurance and the board's right to purchase insurance.
Yes, great article.
And, you know, the statute says you have to take all reasonable methods to try to, you know, procure the insurance. Well, if I tell you, the DBPR and the state has actually come out and stated that money is not an excuse not to get insurance. If you can't afford it, that's not an excuse. You need it. So, once again, it's the money issue.
I saw that. Someone actually sued their association for not having insurance. I believe it was flood insurance, and that unit owner's mortgage company actually put forced place insurance, which is like five times what the unit owner normally would have had to pay in their assessments. And she sued the association, and I understand the parties finally wind up settling out of court, and the association did, in fact, wind up purchasing that policy. But, yeah, everybody gets hurt if there's no master policy, because forced place insurance is a lot of money, much more expensive than if the association got it themselves.
You know, I learned something interesting about insurance yesterday on the home improvement show that I do. I was talking to those guys, and you know that you can still make a claim for Hurricane Wilma?
That's right, exactly. Yeah, there's a five-year statute of limitations.
Even if it was repaired and not repaired properly.
That's correct.
You can still get your roof fixed up until October 24th of this year, because that's the five-year limit.
That's the five-year statute of limitations.
Believe it or not, you can still file a claim.
If you haven't settled with your association by that time, they owe you money. Again, you have until that date, the date of Hurricane Wilma, to actually file suit. And the clock is ticking.
See, Jerry, by the time you get done, you can have one of our jobs. You're becoming an expert at this stuff.
Right,
look at you go.
Right. See, I'm going to be able to build houses and do plumbing and air conditioning and do legal stuff and, you know, just watch. Watch out. And just in case this radio thing doesn't work out.
Right,
you know.
I'll stop.
One more good email. Tony writes in. I don't know where Tony's from, but he writes in that the president of my condo association, this is a good one, entered my condo for the sole purpose of leaving the rules and regulation booklet on my kitchen counter. Is that legal?
He went in and opened the door. And left it in when Tony wasn't home.
That's right. Correct.
I tell you, if somebody did that to me, they better duck.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say if somebody did that to me, they better watch out for the big German Shepherd in the house. I mean,
well, I don't have a big German Shepherd, but if anybody, I mean, what if I was asleep in the other room and heard somebody in my kitchen doing something? You better duck.
I think both of you guys need those anger management classes, I got to tell you.
No, I don't need anger management classes. But, I have a gun.
But yet he's sitting right across the table from both of us, Jerry, so that's an interesting part.
Truth is, there's probably not too many listeners who would disagree with you guys in that regard. That's for sure. But let's review the statute quickly. Florida Statute 718.111 states, right of access to units. The association has the irrevocable right of access to each unit during reasonable hours when necessary for the maintenance, repair, or replacement of any common elements or any portion of a unit to be maintained by the association pursuant to the declaration or as necessary to prevent damage to the common elements or to a unit or units. That's it. That's the only reason why the association can enter. You know, putting the rules on someone's table is absolutely not a reason to allow someone to gain entry.
You also need to mention that in the event it is an emergency situation, there's a burst pipe, then they actually have the right to access in an emergency situation to repair that stuff.
Well, then you would want somebody to come in and turn your water off.
I just wanted to clarify, guys.
And another issue along these lines that come up all the time, if a declaration of condominium or bylaws or rules a mandate that a unit owner has to leave their key downstairs with the front desk or with management or whatever, do they have to do it? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. No two ways about it. If your docs require it, you must leave your key. It's not an excuse, and there's a whole line of case law that says so. It's not an excuse that you're going to claim that someone's going to break in or they don't maintain the keys safely, or you're afraid your neighbor's going to get a hold of it and break into your house. No excuse. Got to leave the key. And again, and a long line of cases that say so.
In the event you don't leave the key, listen to this, they can actually come in and remove your door, and whatever damages are done are your cost. It's going to be your expense. If they need to get into your unit, they're going to get in any way possible if they don't have a key, if it's an emergency. I mean,
you'd be surprised, though, just how many cases have actually been filed where the unit owners have fought their bought on this issue and lost and had to pay their association's attorney's fees. Happens
all and the damages
the time.
And the damaged door and everything else. You know, I've got no problem at all leaving a key in the office. They have always had a key to my place, and it's a good thing. I locked myself out once and I needed it, but anyway. Otherwise, it's a 4-story building. There's just many units. It's a huge complex. And, you know, you never know. Something could happen over there, upstairs or next to me or something else, and they need to get in. I have no problem with that.
Right. Well, the good
thing, if they abuse that privilege,
of course,
then they better duck.
Oh, yeah.
And if that doesn't work, I'm going to go and borrow Christy's dog.
Oh, she may be a little German Shepherd, but she's got a mean bite, I can promise you guys. But
we get calls from that regarding that issue all the time. About whether or not someone from the board actually used their key to get into a unit when they shouldn't have been there.
Well, the funniest thing is a lot of the management companies, at least a lot of the ones that are used down here, they actually have licensing for it. They have bonds. They have all the stuff that they actually put up. So most of the time I know in our condo, if somebody has to access it, the manager comes along with the person that's doing the inspection or a member of the actual association comes with the person that they allow into the unit so that you're protected by the insurance policy.
And you know, they also have my phone number.
Right.
So, you know, they can always call me and tell me there's a problem and that they need to go in before I can get there.
So they're going to call you at 3:00 in the morning to let you know they're dropping off the rules and regulations, right? No, I'm just kidding.
If they drop off the rules and regulations at 3:00 in the morning, I'm going to need to hire an attorney.
Yes,
I would
are.
Think there's
and
a rule.
I don't know if you guys do that kind of law, but
I'm guessing there's a rule and regulation that says you can't drop off the rules and regulations at 3:00 in the morning.
Or anything, period.
Is that like sending an email to tell people that email is down?
Right.
Yeah, something like that. Let's do one more email, and this one involves one of my favorite subjects, the jacuzzi. I live in an older condo in the Brickell area. This comes from Wayne. Our spa jacuzzi whirlpool has reached the end of its life and is no longer reparable and must be replaced. The board has advised me that they do not have the money and they do not wish to initiate a small assessment. We have 123 units, and I've been advised that the cost to meet all codes has been estimated at around $30,000. Can the board deny replacement of this amenity?
Once again, it comes back to the money issue, Jerry. I mean, they have a statutory obligation to repair and maintain the common elements of the condominium. So they have the duty to repair it. They can't just leave it and say, oh, we don't have the money for it. We're not going to do that right now.
This falls into the same category as the elevator.
Exactly. Say it does. They don't have the money, then a special assessment needs to be passed to make the repairs. It just can't be left. And not to fix it could possibly be a material change to the common elements if they don't fix it.
Right. Certainly, like to board it up and put something over it would definitely be considered a material change to the common elements. And that would require a unit owner vote. So,
wow.
No two ways about it. They need to fix it.
So, Jerry,
you know, I read both of these emails out loud, and they didn't seem like they were common.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't seem like they had anything in common.
Hey, as associations run out of money, these types of issues keep coming up, you know, more and more. So, unfortunately, though, the association has to make these repairs. No two ways about it. And the unit owners who were living there simply have to pick up the bill. Wish there was an easier answer, but really there isn't.
You know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. I can see an elevator. Yes, you have elderly people living in the building. You have people that bought there because not many buildings in South Florida have an elevator if they're only 2 stories.
Right.
And I can see that. But this is a whirlpool.
Here, I got a point for you.
Okay.
Would you have bought in that building if it didn't have a whirlpool? You bought with the assumption that there's going to be a whirlpool there. You had an agreement there was going to be a pool, an elevator, a whirlpool. It breaks. It could possibly reduce your value of your property. It's one of those things. It's part of the common elements,
right.
And it has to be treated just like anything else, like a doorknob, like a light fixture. If it goes out, it has to be fixed. All that stuff is the same stuff.
No, they fixed one in my building right by the mailboxes and put a much brighter light in there. It's like you walk up there and you need sunglasses at night for that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back next Sunday at noon with lots more of Condo Craze and HOAs. If we didn't get to your question today, feel free to email us anytime at condocraze@wiod.com, or you can call the offices of Glazer & Associates during regular business hours, 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Enjoy your day. News Radio 610 WIOD.
The news you need. News Radio 610 WIOD, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Streaming live 24/7 at WIOD.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Lance with our top local story. BSO deputies forced to shoot and kill a mother of four in Pompano. The latest on the investigation coming up. But first, let's check in with Terry Griffin in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Traffic Center.
Thanks, Randy. Kayayocho happening as I speak. So Southwest 8th Street is closed. That's a real stretch, isn't it? From 27th Avenue past 12th Avenue. This is happening until tomorrow morning. That's Kayayocho happening right now. Also, you do have an accident. 95 southbound south of Miami Gardens Drive and looking at Broward County. 95 exit southbound at Broward Boulevard. Crash there as well. Next update at 1:30. I'm Terry Griffin, News Radio 610 WIOD, 24-hour traffic.
The forecast continues to be an amazing one for the next couple of days, featuring partly sunny skies and daytime highs just a few degrees below normal, close to 80, a little breezy, with overnight lows in the mid-50s across inland areas, upper 50s to lower 60s near the coast. Lisa Love from the Weather Channel for News Radio 610 WIOD.
75 degrees in Homestead, 71 outside of our Miramar studios, News Radio 610 WIOD.